with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no greater experience, there's no greater event in a person's life than having an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Some have an encounter to their disappointment, not because the Lord Jesus Christ disappointed them. Certainly the rich young ruler went to the Lord, and the Lord, when he gave him that message that he needed to sell what he had and give to the poor and come follow him, the Lord wasn't suggesting that salvation is by purchase. He wasn't suggesting that you can buy it, but he knew what was the hindrance in that person's life to prevent him from coming to have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But here's an individual in John chapter 4 that has an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, and her life would never be the same. When she went to the well that day in her life, she never dreamed that she would go there to get water for her thirsty mouth and her thirsty being, and that she would experience living water, as we've already been singing about today and heard the message of the harvest, very appropriate for the hour. We're thinking about the harvest that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about here in John chapter 4 and verse 35. Look on the harvest and look on the fields. And the Lord would have us turn our attention to the harvest today. The harvest is an analogy that the Lord has given that would give indication of the people of the world that need to be reached with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're all aware of that. And I'm sure that we have in some measure been involved in getting the message of the Lord Jesus Christ to the people of the world. And yet, the truth is, this morning, there are yet, out of the 6.7 billion, there are yet a great percentage of the people in the world that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Lord uses this encounter with this woman as a springboard to teach a lesson to His disciples. This woman who went to the well and had that amazing conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it reveals a lot about the Lord and His urgency for those that need to be saved. And His, you know, we talk about the importance of one. If there's a picture in the Bible in which the Bible gives indication Jesus Christ puts emphasis on the importance of one, it would be this woman that has an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ at the well. In fact, it's so significant because of how far the Lord Jesus Christ went out of the way. The Bible says we must go through Samaria. Jesus said to His disciples that we're going to go in a direction that would not be our usual way to go. It would not be the way in which we would choose to go because of our nationality, because of our location, because of our association. These people, you know, were not... the Jews were not friendly with the Samaritans because they considered them to be half-breeds, half-Gentile and half-Jew, and so they singled them out and they put them in their own society, or kept them on side and stayed away from them. We all know that. But the Bible reveals here that the Lord Jesus Christ uses this message to His disciples to reveal that all people of all places need to have this salvation that is being offered by the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to think about this subject this morning as we look at John chapter 8, verse 20, or excuse me, John chapter 8, verse 35, where it says, "There are yet, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." I think this statement the Lord Jesus Christ makes, look on the fields or lift up your eyes, He uses that terminology to bring their awareness to something that is something that's obvious, something they're not seeing. And the Lord does that, you know, in His Word, brings things to that are obvious to Him that are not obvious to us. But He brings this thought, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I think of missions conference really is a time in which we're made aware of some things that we know, or there's a new awareness of some things that we already know. You know, the world has its time of making awareness. When we think of the health of American people, we have awareness weeks. Sometimes it's advertised and several thousand dollars are paid for advertisement to make people aware of something, some disease that's crippling, some disease that is taking lives. And so we have Cancer Awareness Week. We have other disease and things that people are concerned about. And people that are most concerned about it invest money, invest time to make others aware of it, to make others conscious of it. And I think that's what we need to be reminded of when we have a missions conference. We're being aware of what Jesus Christ is already aware of and what Jesus Christ is already concerned about. I think we're made aware in a missions conference of what the preacher's aware about, what he's aware of, and what he's concerned about. You would not be having probably a missions conference or the emphasis you're having if it was not that your preacher's aware that the fields are white under harvest and there's yet a world out there that needs to be reached with the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. A missions conference really has a major impact in the areas of our life. But what is a mission? What is a missions conference for? Well, I think, and what does it really do for us? Well, first of all, I believe it helps us to confronts us with the facts or the awareness of the world. It helps us to take a global look at what the whole world looks like from a biblical perspective. I think it helps us to see what other men can see and what we do not see. This idea of saying that the world needs Jesus Christ and go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and we think of global salvation that's needed, and we think of global message that's needed, and yet that can be a very obsolete and sometimes obsolete. It can be a very objective approach to world evangelism. The Lord Jesus Christ wants us to have some specifics. He wants us to be aware of some specifics, and so a missions conference confronts us with facts. Then I think also it helps us to have a personal compassion for a field. I don't think that all of us can have a compassion for every field. I think we can have a general compassion, but the truth is I cannot have a compassion as I have a compassion for... I don't have the compassion for Johnston... I don't have a compassion for Jackson, Michigan that I have for Johnston, Rhode Island. I do not have compassion for Michigan, even though this is my home state. And I have a desire to see the Lord do something. But my compassion and interest is not primarily in Michigan. It's in Rhode Island. It's in New England. And it's because the Lord has done something in my heart. And He's done something in your heart to prepare you to the realization, to bring you to a place to have compassion for a field. Then I think that also not only does it bring us to that place of having compassion for a field, but it brings us to a place of committing our finances to the project. So it is that which the Lord uses to confront us with facts, and confronts us with the fact that we are to be have compassionate for some field, then the realization of being committed with our finances. Now, how does that happen? What does the Lord use to bring us to that place of committing our finances and having compassion for some field in the world? I think the Lord uses it by us being made aware of the facts and aware of the need. But I think it helps us really to take into consideration of who this message is coming from. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who said, "Lift up your eyes onto the fields, for they're white already to harvest." Now, we know there's a harvest in a world that needs to be reached. But I'd like us tonight, today, to think about what the Lord might be inferring here when we think about a harvest. And first of all, I want us to take into consideration that a harvest has to do with people, and the people are the harvest, or the people of the harvest. We don't have to go far in the Scriptures to realize that the Lord, in this text, to realize that Jesus was referring to people when He talked about the harvest. I think He could refer to the one in whom He had just witnessed to. I think He could refer to the people that are around Him, and maybe when His disciples arrived back from that venture of going to get food. And when they got back, the Lord Jesus Christ presented them with His lesson. Now, I think it's pretty sure and pretty obvious here that these disciples needed to be made aware of the fact that there's a harvest of people to be reached. Now, keeping this in mind, the very thing that had happened that would change and transform this person's life, this woman that had gone to the well, this Samaritan woman, and Jesus' encounter at the well with this woman, His conversation with her. And then when she arrived at the fact of when Jesus said to her about her life that she was a that she was a woman that had married five times, and the man she was married with, Jesus confronted her with her sin, and she fell under conviction. She had this conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ that she was somewhat confused about what the Lord was talking about, this living water. And the Lord explained to her that it was a spring that would spring up in her soul. He was not talking about physical water, as we know. He was talking about spiritual water. And so she had this conversation with the Lord, and the Lord clarified her confusion by revealing to her that He could give her this living water. And then this realization of her conviction, He brought her to the point He confronted her with her sin. No person can get saved unless they're confronted with their sin. If you're here this morning and you've not had an experience of understanding who Jesus Christ is and what He's accomplished, you must first realize that the reason for which He came. He came to give His life a ransom for many. He came to give His life for the sins of mankind. He bore our sins in His body on the tree. But then the Lord not only brought her to the place of conviction, He brought her to the place of a choice. And she made that choice. Now, we don't have her prayer of conversion, and we do not have indication by her statement of conversion, but it's obvious this woman was converted. She left her water pot, that thing in which she had gone to the well to retrieve water to satisfy her thirst. She left that water pot and she went back to the place in which she had been accustomed to. She went back into her society and she began to propagate about this person that told her all things about her life. And she brought such a stir and interest in these people's minds that they went out and investigated themselves. Oh, it's true. We can be sure that this woman was converted. It was converted by her behavior. She was converted by her witness. She was a converted woman. And the Lord Jesus Christ uses this to bring an awareness to His disciples. Well, let me just mention to you why they needed to be made aware. First of all, they needed to be aware that this person, this woman, in whom they were so concerned about Him even talking to, that she was a candidate for salvation. That the Lord has not singled out people somewhere in the world that have a greater experience of salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ has made salvation for all people. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful the Lord has made it plain that He loved the world and gave Himself for it. And that was the first thing that had to be clarified. That's the first awareness that had to be made in the minds of His disciples. They needed to be made aware of this woman was a candidate for salvation. She was a Samaritan, but Jesus wanted to make this sure that they understood that she could be saved. So we have this awareness that He brings in. But He goes beyond that message. He goes beyond the message of the woman in revealing that this woman could be saved. And He brings them to this realization that there is a harvest, and that harvest that you are aware of, you're to be involved in. Now let's pray. Our Father, use the message of Your Word. And I pray that as we look at Your Word and look at this text that reveals this harvest that You speak about, this harvest that we're to be involved in as a local church, and that we're to be involved in corporately and individually, use it, I pray. Draw us to a conclusion. Draw us to a decision that would make us more like our Lord Jesus Christ, having a heart for the harvest. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Now, I'm not going to take time this morning to take into consideration the people of a harvest. We've had missionaries here this week that have talked about people in different parts of the world, in Ireland and England and Burma and these other places that have been mentioned. These are places that these missionaries have a burden for and a call from the Lord for to go to these places. And that is presented to them as their harvest. It's the place in which they'll introduce the Lord Jesus Christ to these individuals. There needs to be an awareness of the harvest and the people of the harvest. But this morning, I would like us more to focus on something else that is found in our text. Not so much the people of the harvest, but the problem of the harvest, or the problem that is in the harvest. The problem in the harvest has to do with the disciples, a lesson that the Lord Jesus Christ was seeking to teach them. And I would like us maybe to be able to take what the Lord was trying to teach them in an awareness of the harvest and an awareness of the people that need Christ and will need Christ in the future. but taking into consideration that the Lord was trying to rectify a problem that was in them and that would be in others, that would be given the assignment to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, what was the problem, or what is the problem with this harvest? Well, it goes back to the disciples. What was the problem that they were having? Well, first of all, the problem was is that they were that these individuals, these disciples, were preoccupied. They did not have a mind for what the Lord had a mind for. In fact, the Lord makes it very clear when they come back and offer him meat or are concerned about his eating. He said the Lord Jesus Christ made it very clear to them about he had meat that they knew not of. Their mind was not the mind of Christ. We are to have, and we know that, we're to have the mind of Christ. But they were not thinking like he thought. And they were not acting like he acted. And the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing them to the point of bring more aware. So here's the problem. I think we can see it in our text. The problem of the harvest was this, that the disciples were preoccupied. In chapter 4, in verse 8, it says, "For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat." Here's the Lord Jesus Christ that has led them out of the way to go to a way and to go to a well and to go there to have a rendezvous, to have a meeting with an individual that needed him desperately. Now, they could not see that. You and I cannot see that. You and I cannot see where all the lost people. We know they're all around us, but you and I cannot see people. We can't just look at a person immediately and say that person's saved and that one's not. We don't have that capability. The Lord does. And the Holy Spirit of God knows what people are saved and what people are lost. Our obligation is to be aware that there is people around us that need Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so here we have the disciples, and the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to this woman. He's revealing to her that which she needs. And then these disciples who have gone into another town, they went there, the Bible says, his disciples were gone away into a city to buy meat. Now here they are, his disciples. Here they are being trained to go into all the world. These are the individuals who lead others in this great enterprise of world evangelism, global involvement in getting people saved. And they're going to be the very leaders. And here they are preoccupied. Preoccupied with sin? No, not with sin. Preoccupied with society? No, not with society. But they're preoccupied with sufficiency. They're looking for, they have gone to do that which is necessary as far as they're concerned to take care of their own physical needs. You know, the body and the mind of and the physical being has this incredible drive to preserve oneself. We have an intense desire to live. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Aren't you glad? You know you're going to heaven when you die. There have been days in which we should always pray, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. There have been times in which I have sensed that and felt that and desired that. But it usually wasn't when things are up here. It's when things are down here. It's not usually when things are going well. Sometimes when things are difficult. And the picture we have in the scriptures of the disciples is that the Lord is trying to get their attention and they're preoccupied. Now, there's areas in which we as Christians become preoccupied. And the harvest is not seen. And the harvest is not approached. And the harvest is not participated in. What are the things that preoccupy these individuals? Well, the Bible says they had gone away into the city to buy meat. There's some things that are obvious for them to do that. Well, first of all, they were traveling. They're traveling on foot. They took the effort. They took the energy. We don't know how far they went, but you know they went gone long enough that while they were gone, Jesus had performed the work of bringing about the story and the message that was needed for this woman to be reached and this woman to be converted and for this life to be changed. And they came back after the fact of the Lord Jesus Christ presenting himself and revealing to her what they needed. And they came back and they enter in on the final words of the conversation. They see the Lord Jesus Christ with this woman of Samaria. They do not see her as a They don't see her as a candidate to be saved. They certainly do not see her as a convert. They see her as an individual that should not be even talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. They see her as somebody that had no right to be talking to him. And they come with these words to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and the woman left her water pot, verse 28, and when she went into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things wherever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out in the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples pray him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore his disciples once said, one another, hath any man brought him aught to meat? Now that's conversation. They're clueless. They have no idea what the Lord Jesus Christ has just accomplished. They don't know what's happened in that woman's heart. They don't know what's going to happen in her life. And they're not interested. They're not interested, not because they're just mean and different, but they've made some decisions that's excluded some people out of the grace of God and the salvation. God forgive us. God help us never to exclude anyone. Help us not to exclude the individuals that are a lower class individuals as far as society is concerned in their economic status. May we never get so busy that we do not see what Jesus saw and who Jesus saw, the poor and the maimed and the blind and those individuals that need significant help. But to the other spectrum, God help us never to forget those that are within a class that are rich and have much, and yet they do not have anything because they don't have Jesus Christ. Lord, help us not to exclude any people, any person from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the disciples come, and we find out that they were preoccupied by traveling. Now, there's nothing wrong with traveling, but traveling is a part of life. But so often, we can even use that the busyness of life and traveling, going here and going there. And while we're doing that, there's missionaries witnessing on the field, and there's individuals maybe in your church or doing what God's called us to do in witnessing. We have no part in it because, you see, we're preoccupied. We're traveling. We're doing those things that are necessary as far as we're concerned. But something else they were doing, they were shopping. They're looking for food. Now, is it right? Is it normal to shop for food? Absolutely. And you've never heard your preacher preach a message. Now, folks, I want you to know that I have a conviction that we don't shop in this church and that we don't shop for food. And if you're going to get your food, you're going to have to get a different way than shopping. We don't preach against shopping. We preach against about everything else, but we don't preach against shopping. Shopping is a necessity. Shopping is for the care, and it is for the needs. It's the essential needs of the body and food and clothes. Shopping. But here we see some things that would reveal that they were trivializing with the trivial. They were not looking at what was at the moment was the most important thing. They were not involved what was important as the most important thing at that moment, at that hour. They were not there when they should have been there, when they needed to be listening and watching what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing. And so we find these individuals, they're traveling and they're trivializing. And now they've come back and they want to be spiritual with the Lord Jesus Christ and act as if they're concerned. And I believe they were. When they said to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, you need to eat. And the Lord come back with them this word, did I have meat that you know not of? And that's what led into this conversation. It led into the conversation, I have to teach you something about the harvest. Who is to be included in the harvest? But before I can do that, there's going to be some things that are going to need to be dealt with. And the things that you and I need to be dealing with so often is the preoccupied and the preoccupation that we have in this life. We are to deal with the things that preoccupy us. Satan is a clever and a schemeful character that can cause or to suggest to God's people, not that they sin against him, not that they'll commit some vile moral sin, but if he can just keep us preoccupied in that which seems to be important or essential in our lives or even in the church, and keep us from being preoccupied from what the Lord puts emphasis on. There's three things I think that preoccupies our lives. First of all, I believe the Bible reveals that we're preoccupied by the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the Father, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, we know that scripture. You probably can quote it. And we're reminded that the world is not to take a hold on us. In fact, the fact is, no matter if we read in the scriptures or we look around us in the Christian life, we are very much aware that the world has an amazing way to mesmerize and capture the attention of God's people, and which means, in many cases, it draws us away. We can be so mesmerized by the world. Ask Demas, who forsook Paul in the ministry. Look at Lot, this individual that was considered to be a righteous man, and went and planted his family in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and found himself there 20 years. Then find his wife as they're leaving, and he's been dragged out of the city. Find his wife, who is so attached to the world and so attached to Sodom and Gomorrah, when the Lord told her not to turn around, not to look back. She had such an infatuation and such a hold on her, she turned. And when she looked, the Bible says she turned to a pillar of salt. We're reminded that we are to remember Lot's wife. The world has an amazing attraction to all of us. The world doesn't necessarily have to be a bad place or a sinful place. But sometimes it's just the attractions that draw us away from the bigger thing, the higher thing, that being the Lord. So we're preoccupied sometimes by the world. Then sometimes we're preoccupied by work. That's what we do to make a living. That would conclude the profession of our life and the vocation of our life. We do that to make a living and provide for our family. And so often, in many cases, the living becomes what we live for. Instead of living for that which will last forever, we find ourselves as breadwinners. Now, my father was a good man, and he loved the Lord. My father was a workaholic. My father knew how to work, and when he taught us to work, taught my brother and I how to work. My father had a cabinet shop, and that was compulsory labor. It was almost child abuse. It was bad. We had to work. We had to sweat. We had to do what he told us to, because my father was a person who gave great concentration to using your hands and using your body and using your mind, being diligent and taking hold of a task. And I'm thankful for that. But my father, early in his life, his work was everything. His business was everything. And he devoted his time to building his business. And there's always another project. There's always another job. And it caused him to be a nominal Christian. Until later on in his life, when he was in his late 40s, my father, in one service, heard a message. God got a hold of his heart, and my father's life changed. He was saved before that, but his life changed. His work was not his job. His work was his job. It was not his life. And from that moment on, my father had an interest in people getting saved, in missions, in serving the Lord, in souls. It changed his life. From being preoccupied by his work, he became preoccupied by the work of the Lord. May we learn in this world that we can be preoccupied by work. Then there's something else that I think that we can be preoccupied. It's obvious in the scriptures. We can be preoccupied by worry. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 through verse 33. Take no thought of your life for what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Not yet for your body shall put on. Is not life more than meat and the body than raiment? Thank God he's given us provision in the scriptures to deal with worry. There are times in which, and certainly the times in which we've gone through, there are things to worry about and be concerned about. But the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Paul reminds the church at Philippi that they were to find the peace of God that passes all understanding. They were to commit their ways to the Lord. I would suggest this morning that we need to be careful that we don't allow things, and it would allow the world and worry and work and other things cause us to be preoccupied for the harvest. Now, the harvest, the people of the harvest, is important. And the reality of the problem of the harvest is to be considered. Because if we do not rectify it, you see, if the disciples are not rectified, if there have not been some adjustments, if they not realize that this responsibility was laid on them, they'd have never changed. And when Jesus went back to heaven, they'd have never entered into the Great Commission. And the book of Acts would be a book of failure. And the book of Acts would be a book of reversals, not going forward. But the book of Acts is not a book of reversals. It's a book of individuals that were empowered by the Holy Spirit, were diligent, and they took hold of the task, and they began to take the gospel to every creature. Now the people of this harvest, let me say first of all that the people begins with one person. One person. And the harvest, the Bible says, look on the fields, for they're white unto harvest. Harvest is something that we experience from planting. The harvest is something that we experience from endeavors and labor. Let me remind you of the importance. Now, the preacher's been talking about the importance of one. When we went to New England, I'm going to close with this. When we went to New England 36 years ago, we did not know it. Things have changed so dramatically. When we went to New England, you know, now we encourage pastors to do demographics and study the area and find out not so much the economical structure, but who is there, the nationality that's there, the industries that's there, and the cost of living. We do all of that because we think it's important. It helps them lay a foundation, prepare for what they're going to do. So we put emphasis, but when we went there, we didn't think about demographic. In fact, when I went to Johnson, Rhode Island on a survey trip and went through that city, I didn't even know what the population, I didn't know what the nationalities were there. All I knew was in New England, and all I knew is that in that city, there's not one Bible-believing church as well as many around there. And God confirmed my heart, this is where we're going to go. This is where I want you to go. And I called my wife and made the decision, went back there after a number of series of events, went back there. We arrived there, and then I found out, well, now I know who's here. I know there's a lot of people here, they're Catholics, and I know that the city that I live in is primarily Italian. Do we have any Italians here? Any Italians? See that? But when they're, it's like, you know, when I raised my hand, I was probably the only one in some audiences because it was almost all Italian. And so I'm in a city of Roman Catholic Italians, and I figured, how in the world? Now what are we going to do? We have to reach Catholics. We have to reach Italians, so they're so entrenched. But the Lord reminded me of something that the Lord can entrench and the Lord can get into, and there can be a harvest even in the midst of people of another nationality. A few months after, just 2 or 3 months after we started our work, I knocked on a door in Smithfield, Rhode Island, and there was a young, excuse me, I got to the door, and there's a young father. In fact, he's my age. I was young then. And the mother were outside, and to make a long story short, we went into their home, and both of them had been raised in Catholicism all their life, sat at the table, and I asked them questions about if they knew where they're going to spend eternity, and some of the questions we ask for people that need the Lord, and their response was they'd never heard that. And I gave them the gospel and brought them to the place of understanding what Jesus Christ accomplished for them and asked them a question. Is this the day? Are you ready to call on the Lord to save you? And I didn't expect them to say yes. I expected them to say, I'll wait, or I don't think I need to know more. They'd do that. They said, yeah, we will do that. And they bowed their heads and they prayed. I asked them to come to church the next time. We were meeting in a Pied Piper nursery school, and it was about 4 miles from where they live. They came on that Sunday. The next Sunday, they did not come. Went back to their home and talked to them a little bit. Asked them if I could have a Bible study with them. Started a Bible study with them. But they came the next Sunday. And then from there on, lo and behold, they started coming every Sunday and every service. And they came week after week and month after month. And this man became so infatuated with the Scriptures and read and took in the Word of God and studied the Word of God. He would develop to be not only a very mature Christian, but he witnessed everything that walked. He had a bump shop. He was an auto repair man, and he had it in Federal Hill. Federal Hill is a place where it's known as the mafia territory of New England. And he had a body shop there, and other Italians would come in there, and he would begin to witness to them. And he would go to the trunk of his car, open up the trunk while they're watching, and open up an attaché case to take out tracks. Usually when Italians go to a trunk and open up an attaché case, and ask a question, if you die today, do you know you go to heaven? Usually it's quite disturbing. But he would do that. He'd witnessed everything at Walt. And everything that everybody, when he went to all his family, and lo and behold, people started getting saved in his family. A major, major movement of other Italians in his family started getting saved. But he grew and grew and grew. There came a day in which he said, you know, he was a Sunday school teacher and become a very fruitful soul winner. And he said, I think the Lord's calling me to preach. I don't know if he is, but I think he is. You think the Lord could use me to be a preacher? I said, Lord, can you use anyone to preach, but you need to surrender. And I remember he got my car, I was at the post office, he got my car, sat next to me, and he said, the Lord's really dealing with this, I need to deal. And he prayed and surrendered, said, Lord, I'll do this if you want me to do it. Time went on, he went to Bible school, and graduated. Joe Malazzi is his name. Joe Malazzi today is a pastor in Maine. He has been a pastor there for 25 years. He has won hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. Christ. The harvest is expansive. Win one, and there'll be many others won. May we not lose the value of one. May we not lose the value of the harvest. May we be involved in it. May we deal with the preoccupations and the things that would prevent us from being involved in this wonderful endeavor, this enterprise of reaching the world with a Christ who loved us and died for us and wants to save them. May God do a wonderful work today as we prepare to give to Him in this manner, in this matter of world evangelization. Father,